May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. In verse 8, he says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the stewardship of this mystery, which was hidden for ages in God, who created all things, but is now made known to the church, or through the church. There's a place in Colossians chapter 1, it says that this is the riches of the glory of this mystery, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When New Testament talks about mystery, that word's used like 27 times in the New Testament. 21 of those times, the Apostle Paul uses them. And mystery is simply, after the fall of man, what had not really been disclosed yet, even though it had been prophesied in different places throughout the Old Testament, but God's plan of the mystery of redeeming mankind. What was he going to do to redeem mankind out of the plight? Because he created us as his masterpiece. We were created to contain and carry his image and reveal his likeness. We're different than any other creature, unique to him. So what was the plan? It was a mystery. And so the word literally, mystery, translated literally means to shut the mouth. And it has two meanings. One of them is that things that are kind of kept unrevealed, a secret a little bit. But the other idea is that once the secret's out, it like it makes you shut your mouth because it's so astounding. That's the real idea of the word. When we think about God's solution that's been revealed, disclosed, which is the finished work of Christ, most of the time people think in terms of that what Jesus did on the cross was he satisfied God's justice. That God's a holy God, the wages of sin is death, and Christ came and satisfied his justice. He died in our place so that those who receive Christ, they're no longer under condemnation because they've appropriated by faith the satisfaction that Jesus satisfied God's justice through his death. His death was my death. And that's certainly part of the gospel. But that's part of the solution, not the whole solution. That simply removes man out from under condemnation. But there was more wrong with man, fallen man, than they were just condemned. We were something wrong with us. You know, Scripture talks about that we're invaded with this law of sin, and sin's our master and controls us. And so there's something else that he came to do, which is really the primary heart of the gospel and what the early church fathers and mothers taught and believed. And that's John 3:16. Hear John 3:16. God so loved the world. Jesus didn't come because God hated the world, or he hated you. And through the cross, God stopped hating you and started liking you and started loving you. The truth is, God loves the whole world. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And we know that biblically, eternal life is not just about duration. It's not just, it does go on forever, but it's a quality of life that's heaven-oriented. We don't have time for all that. But the word perish there literally is the word to spoil. Something's ruining. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to the That scripture I read to you in Ephesians says that Christ is the mystery. God's solution was a person. And that person did die on the cross for us, but more than that, or beyond that, is that this solution to man ruining themselves, destroying themselves, spoiling what God created us to be, is Christ himself, Christ in us, who is the riches of the glory of the mystery. The reason I say all that is for you to understand the heart of God. God's heart is that he loved you before you were even a Christian. And it breaks his heart to see humanity destroying themselves. It breaks his heart to see things like abuse and divorce and what happened in Las Vegas and then human beings, what they do to each other, the inhumanity of man against man. It breaks his heart to see the self-centered brokenness that humans live out of because of their fallenness. It kills him, it destroys him, breaks his heart. But he so loved the world that he sent his son so that we would stop doing that. The point being is that Christianity isn't just about you going to heaven one day. That's going to be the final destination, final redemption. It isn't just about you coming out from under condemnation. It's about saving us from ourselves. He came that we might have life, it says, and have it more abundantly. God sent him so that we'd stop perishing. And he came so that we could have life and life more abundantly. That's the heart of the Christian message. That's the heart of the good news. And so if you or I don't understand that, if we just think that God took us out from under wrath and now he loves me because I'm in Christ, we don't understand his heart or his priority as a believer. Or that if as a believer I'm still living a defeated life, you know, one of the great definitions of sin is radical self-centeredness. I'm still living a life of radical self-centeredness and a defeated life being controlled by sin, and my life's just messed up. Then even though I may have appropriated Christ as my Lord, I may have received him into my heart, I'm not living out the reality of the gospel, what the gospel is all about. The gospel is so that I wouldn't have to live like that anymore. The gospel is so that because of a person who is the mystery of God revealed, that I can live life and life more abundantly every day in the details that make up my life. To not understand that is to not understand why Jesus came, which is sad. It says in Romans 8, how much with him will you not also freely give us all things? That's God's heart. That in Christ to freely give you everything that so you can live a totally different life than the life that you lived before you were saved. And this is tragic that so many in the body of Christ don't understand that. And they quite like pray the prayer and get stamped going to heaven and then continue to live as churchgoers, much like the world. So the good news even gooder than you thought it was. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.